Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Our show today, Fluoride Alert, a poisoned water supply. In Europe, only Ireland, Poland, Serbia, Spain, and the UK fluoridate any of their water. Most developed countries, including Japan, and 97% of the Western European people do not consume fluoridated water. Yet, in the United States, about 70% of the public water supplies are fluoridated. This equates to approximately 185 million people, which is over half the number of people drinking artificially fluoridated water worldwide. What's going on here, and why should you be so concerned? Today, the information you're about to hear will make you think twice about the quality of your water supply and why you should avoid fluoridated water at all costs. But before we get to our guest and her dramatic story, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, our special guest today is Kathy Justice. Kathy has the unfortunate distinction of owning the first horses to ever be diagnosed with chronic fluoride poisoning from artificially fluoridated municipal water. Her experience will be revealed today, including the ugly truth about the history of fluoride and its effects on human and animal life. Kathy, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Kathy, how did you first find out that fluoride was such a problem for you?
Well, we moved here and had been here for years without our horses being sick, and all of a sudden they started developing chronic colic, which is deadly in horses. And so we tried to figure out, we changed feeds, supplements, changed everything, but couldn't change the water. And the progression of the incidence of colics didn't cease, so it really pointed to the water.
Kathy, just for people who don't know anything about your background, can you talk about how much, I mean, you absolutely love horses, and I mean, this is your life. It's not like you just have one horse running around on your property.
Right. No, we raise registered quarter horses and show them and have champions, and our horses, like you say, are our life. We need to have good, healthy horses.
And I mean, the reason why I bring this up is because you are really a professional, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it. You really understand horses in terms of not only their physical health, their mental health, their emotional health. You understand horses. So the reason why I asked you that was to make it very clear that you're an expert about this. What kind of problems did you notice that fluoride was starting to cause your horses? You knew something was wrong.
Well, like I said, the first symptoms just kept growing, being that fluoride is a cumulative toxin and it poisons at the very core of life. It kills and changes the shapes of enzymes needed to catalyze every function in the body. It displaces iodine the thyroid uses to make thyroxine and govern the hormone system. It changes the collagen system or the mineralization system that knows to keep the skin soft and the bones hard. Being that it poisons at the very core of life, it can create virtually any chronic degenerative disease, depending on the individual, and that's horse, human, dog, cat, whatever, depending on their inherent weakness. List of some of the symptoms that our horses developed were the colic, skeletal problems, including arthritis, which they say that arthritis is the number one misdiagnosed problem in the world. It's actually skeletal fluorosis. Osteoporosis, muscles and ligaments, and tendons hardening, bone spurs, fibromyalgia, skin allergies, reproductive problems, chronic infections, deformed fetuses, abortions, thyroid problems, abscesses, head shaking, neurological problems, seizures, hormone problems, metabolism of or malocclusion of teeth, dental fluorosis, gum recession, teeth chipping off and breaking, kidney problems, equine metabolic syndrome, also known, there's no known cause of that, that's why they call it a syndrome, Cushing's disease, which is usually a benign tumor on the pituitary, which was never found in the necropsies, blindness, laminitis and founder, malocclusion, malformation of hooves. I'm reading this off. Change of personality and becoming very violent and mean, early onset of puberty, lung and breathing problems, chronic cough, Alzheimer's disease, endocrine problems, radiation poisoning, heart attacks, and the list just goes on and on and on. As you can see, it can create any problem.
Yeah, now it's an enormous list, right? And a lot of people would have some doubt. You know, even people I worked with, Kathy, they had some reservations. You know, why have a woman come on talk about horses and fluoride? What has this got to do with anything? But to me, I feel we're all one and the same. We're talking about life. We're talking about introducing a substance into the body and what would happen. You know, I love it when you see these warnings, like they'll say, maybe something isn't healthy for pregnant women and just watch out. As if somehow, for example, when I bring that up, that everybody else on the planet, humans, shouldn't have to worry about something. It's just the pregnant women that should be worried. It's like absurd. I wanted you to tell your story because I know you're outspoken. I know you're brave enough and courageous enough to really say it like it is. A lot of these problems that you listed, I mean, did you see reproductive issues? Did you see emotional, behavioral issues with the horses? I mean, just talk to us a little bit more about some of that detail.
Well, the reproductive issues were blatant. We started having what the vets called fetal monsters that were deformed, terribly deformed. Foals that were born with crooked legs. Fluoride does cross the placental barrier, so they're being poisoned in utero. So we had several horses that just quickly turned not just mean, but vicious. You had to be extremely careful with them because they would attack you that had been perfectly fine before. And then when fluoridation, the ones that were still living, when fluoridation ceased, it took a few months for their personality to come back. You know, it was just very blatant when fluoridation started and when it ended, the difference in the personalities.
And Kathy, I'd like you to address this because if people dived into the story a little bit more, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe some horses got sick, right, drinking the water. Some didn't. Can you sort of explain why others weren't getting sick? What was going on there?
Well, some people and animals are more susceptible to the poisoning of fluoride. Not that it doesn't poison everybody, but you know, having your skeletal system affected is not going to, I mean, that will make you crippled, but compared to a reproductive problem, if you're not a breeding mare, then, you know, you're not going to show that toxicity, that range of toxicity that's going to be so blatant as a crippled horse.
Right, that's a good point. In other words, you're looking at a female horse, not that I'm an expert or anything, but, you know, this fluoride is building up in the body. There's definitely some reproductive issues going on there. I suppose scientifically you could study and see cellular changes or something going on, but obviously if that female horse is not giving birth anymore because they're older, you just wouldn't notice those things, you know, on the outside so much.
Right.
So why don't we talk about what your understanding is about anyone else going through this? I mean, I would imagine the water supply, the land and the horses where you were, there were other people with horses as well. Was this going on with anybody else? What was the connection there?
It was going on. One lady contacted me here in town that said that she personally knew of 15 people that had horses that had suddenly developed equine metabolic syndrome. The amount of colics in town in horses was rampant, and the vets here in town, they didn't want to hear that it was the fluoride or anything. They just treat the symptoms, so they're making money off of this, and they were treating the symptom and putting horses down. In fact, one of the board members of our water department told me that they had put down her daughter's horse because it kept having chronic colics, and the vet had no idea what was causing it.
Just can you explain what colic is so people understand it?
Colic in a horse is not colic in a baby. It can turn into a lot of different things. It can be created by different things, changing the feed too quickly, fluoride, any kind of upset in what is consumed. if the feed is moldy or whatever. The big problem is that when horses get a stomach ache, they lay down and start rolling. And because of how the belly and the intestines are hooked in, they're pendulous in a horse. And when they start rolling, when they have gas, because any kind of upset will cause gas, this stomach can twist and cause a twisted gut, which is deadly. And so that's the big thing. You can also have an impaction colic, spasmodic colic. There's a lot of different kinds. It caused in our horses was a spasmodic colic, which is severe pain because fluoride turns the hydrochloric acid in the stomach used to digest your food into hydrofluoric acid, which can eat your stomach lining, cause acid reflux. You know, you think about the amount of acid reflux and stomach problems in people nowadays. What's causing it? Anyway, and then gas. It caused major gas in our horses. So we never lost a horse with colic, but that the big reason was because I had monitors and monitored them 24/7 for all those years. Anytime any symptoms of colic, the pawing, and the looking at this belly and the laying down and everything, we would be out there immediately taking care of it.
Did you lose any horses at all, Kathy, for any other particular reasons due to the fluoridation of the water?
We lost a total of 8 horses and 4 dogs.
The pain must have been unbelievable for these horses. Now, you mentioned that there was moldy feed as a possibility. Obviously, you were very diligent at the beginning to rule these things out, right? I mean, just to make it clear for people.
Definitely. I have been called anal when it comes to my feed. I inspect every single bale. The supplements that I feed, I buy individual organic parts to the supplements, and I hand mix for each horse. I'm real particular about the feed.
I'm really looking forward to talking about the environment now, Kathy, as we go forward in this program. And what I mean by environment is the attitude of the people around you. You kind of alluded to it already about what the vets must have thought about this whole idea that fluoride in the water is what's causing all these problems. You said basically, you know, they don't even look at something like that. They denied it. I'd like to find out about what other authorities thought about how crazy you were or not about suggesting that fluoride was going to do this. I also want to talk about how your horses are doing now, what kind of changes you noticed as soon as you stopped giving them the fluoride in the water, and these dangers that you see now as you've investigated this issue with humans and other animals. I want to talk about all this, plus a whole bunch more. We'll have some nice surprise at the end for everybody about what you can actually do about this issue. But I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, right now, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. Kathy, let's talk about what local authorities must have thought when you came out publicly and suggested that fluoride was the problem here.
Well, I was the crazy blonde for many, many years because I was sending them research material, piles and piles and piles of it to our water municipality. And I found out from the secretary it was being thrown directly into the trash. It got so much. I was just the crazy woman. And it wasn't until the fall of 2004 when my best broodmare died. And I found Dr. Crook at Cornell University, who was well known as the world's authority on chronic fluoride poisoning in animals, and got the first necropsy from him that I had up until then had been my suspicion. And when I got scientific proof, I went directly to the water department, and that was the first that they actually stood up and listened.
Can you make it clear what you were able to get from that expert?
Well, we had to dig the mare back up. She had been buried. We had paid for another necropsy here in town from a local vet, which came and she said, you know, the different symptoms pointed to different things. And we told her to check for anything and everything. And I specifically said, I want her to check for fluoride poisoning. And she looked at me and said, there's no such thing, but I will see if I can find it. And there, she found no labs, no public labs in the U.S. That's how well the fluoride polluting industry has done their job. There's no public labs that know how to test for chronic fluoride poisoning. So that necropsy came back negative on everything that she tested for that she thought the individual symptoms pointed to. So when Dr. Crook, when I got a hold of him, he had us dig the mare back up, take a leg off right below the knee, and send him from the knee down and he sliced that down and laid the leg open, which showed the buildup of fluoroapatite. Fluoride pulls calcium out of the bones and replaces it with fluoroapatite, which makes thicker bones, which the doctors are looking at as good bone tissue, but it's very, it's called what's called mosaic bone. It's very fragile and brittle bone. And it was not only building up on the outside of her cannon bone, but it was also building up on the inside, overtaking the bone marrow, which is a major part of your immune system.
That's incredible. First of all, let us know when this actually stopped for your horses and talk about what your experience must have been like. You must have been so relieved as you're witnessing your horses feeling better. Take us through that, Kathy.
Oh, it was amazing. It took a while. In fact, the water department, when they stopped the fluoridating just a couple months after that. We had two other horses here in town, not mine, that Dr. Krug also necropsied. And with three necropsies on the table, they realized that we really had an issue here. And when they stopped, they told us it would take about 2.5 to 3 months for the fluoride to be totally pushed out of the water system. But immediately the colic stopped. That was the first thing. And we still lost three more horses from chronic fluoride poisoning. And people have questioned that. Well, if the fluoridation stopped, how come you lost more horses? Well, two of those were second generation, already sick when they were born. They already had the buildup in their bones. As long as the fluoride is in the system, it's poisoning you. And it's cumulative in the bones. And they just had too much damage done to their body to come out of it. One died of severe skeletal fluorosis. She had bone spurs, crooked legs. It was awful. Another one was a young gelding who was just 9 years old. The vet thought that he had pneumonia, and we took him to Albuquerque. He said, take him there immediately right now because his lungs need to be tapped. They're filling up with fluid. And we took him down there, and they tapped his lungs, and it was pure blood. He died that night, and they found huge cancerous tumors in his lungs. One had eaten through an artery, was where the blood was coming from, and his kidneys were also filled with cancer. According to the California EPA, there's enough arsenic in the product, hydrofluorosilicic acid, that they put in water to artificially fluoridate it. Enough arsenic in that product to kill an additional, and I can't remember the exact percentage in humans, of lung, kidney, and bladder cancer. This horse had two of those. And then the last one we had die was from the amount of damage that the fluoride had done in utero and then during the time that he consumed fluoridated water to his heart and arteries. It's not a shutoff, you know. The acute symptoms quit. But the chronic problems were done and just didn't give these horses, they were so far gone that there was no return. But we have two horses that consume the fluoridated water. One is now 29 years old. What affected him was it started making his bones crooked. He's been going blind. But we noticed he was born the year after fluoridation started, so he got it in utero. And when he was born, he just wasn't all theirs. He never was smart and got less smart. The best explanation of what he had was Alzheimer's. And it got so bad that you'd lead him out into the pasture and he would stand in the same place that you left him all day long. And then when you'd lead him into his stall where he'd lived his whole life, if you didn't show him the feed in the feeder, he would just stand where you left him. He's got his brains back. Brains that he never had. He's smarter now than we have ever seen him. So how many people with Alzheimer's that are given up actually have fluoride poisoning, and if they would give it some years and let it leach out, would get better? The other one is a mare that we have that only consumed it for 18 months for a very short period of time. She's the one on the Poison Horses documentary with all the weird bumps. She was allergic to it, and she manifested it, her problem with it, in skin allergies. And then it also affected her thyroid really bad. We have not been able to get her bred since. She seems fine. Other than that, she seems perfectly fine. It just takes a long time for this stuff to leach out. Once it's in the bone, bone cell turnover is the slowest cell turnover, so it takes a very long time.
Kathy, if this was happening to people, you know, there it would be people would be flipping out here, right? A lot of people are not recognizing this. I mean, you had to be furious as you're realizing this. You're being exposed to this water as well. I mean, did you filter your water? How were you protecting yourself? And I'd like you to talk for a few minutes about, you know, what these dangers are in other animals and humans. I mean, do you see any line being drawn at all, or is it all one and the same for you?
It's one and the same. Our friends here in town, we lost so many friends that died from the very same problems that our horses manifested. And people that there's rarely a time that I go to town that people don't come up to me and thank me for stopping the fluoridation, that their symptoms are abating slowly, but they're still abating and going away. It affects people. You know, the only difference that I see is in a situation like with laminitis, where horses have hooves and people don't. Other than that, I see a total correlation between what happened to our horses and what's happening to people. The difference is that horses drink so much more water over a much shorter period of time, so it showed up in our horses in a much faster sequence than it is happening with humans. And as far as filtering our water, what we did is we put in a very good, expensive RO system, reverse osmosis, and then we were taking that RO water and running it through the distiller. And what we got out of the distiller was the color and consistency, except it was grainier, of peanut butter. So that shows how the RO system was not taking out all of it. It needed to be run through the reverse osmosis. The problem is, or through the distiller, the problem is distilling water is very slow and expensive, and there was no way that we could get a distiller big enough to distill enough water for the horses.
So this all ended at what point, Kathy?
March of 2005, fluoridation ceased. It began in March of 1985, so it went on for right at 20 years.
And people need to understand that this stuff is so toxic. It goes out into the environment. Can you talk about that for a couple minutes?
Well, the stuff that they use, the hydrofluorosilicic acid and the sodium fluorosilicates, is a byproduct of the aluminum and phosphate fertilizer companies. When they go down into the ground to pull up what they need for their product, all this other stuff comes with it, not only fluorine, but also mercury, arsenic, beryllium, cadmium, radioactive isotopes, lead, all this stuff they don't want. So what they used to do is cook it off, and it would go out in what they call effluent or smoke, and it was poisoning the environment. The EPA stepped in and made them cap these chimneys. And so now it builds up in these chimneys like creosote does in a wood-burning chimney. And so they go in there with scrubber water, which is not clean in the first place, and scrub this stuff out. They put it in ponds, and then if they send it liquid to your municipality, it has to be put in a rubber-lined tanker because it will eat the steel. If they put it in a metal tank of any sort, it'll eat the steel. So they have to put it in a rubber-lined tanker, or they will dry it and put it in bags or plastic barrels, because if they put it in glass, it will eat the glass. This stuff is toxic. It's bad stuff. The EPA has recognized that if this very stuff gets out into the environment, they have to be called in immediately in their hazmat suits to clean it up. Some of this stuff was spilled in Rock Island, New York, I believe it was, from the tanker when it was delivered at the water municipality, and it was eating the concrete. So basically, these industries, to get rid of their toxic waste, they sell it for pennies on the dollar to the municipalities, and we get to carry it to our early graves because they would otherwise have to put it in a A1 toxic dump for the worst of the worst toxins and pay to store it for the rest of forever. And it would cost $7,000 to a truckload to do that. So it's cheap to them to do that. So as far as it going into the environment, they put it in the municipal water and with the lie that it's good for our teeth. You will see in the Poisoned Horses DVD that it ruins teeth. We get to drink some of it, but 99% of what they put in the water we're using to flush our toilets, wash our dishes, water our lawns. 99% of it, it's been proven, 99% of it goes out into the environment, is poisoning our environment. I wrote a paper that was published in the International Society for Fluoride Research about our organic garden, how it produced less and less and less, and the earthworms were finally non-existent because we were watering it with fluoridated water. And it took about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years for it to leach out. Now it's still going into the environment from the rain and the snow. It's leaching it from my garden, but where's it going? Before my garden would start producing, and the worms actually came back. So it's killing the environment.
Kathy, I want to finish up this program with, obviously, we highlight problems all the time to wake people up to what's going on out there, really to protect their health. I want to talk about what, in your best opinion, your experience, what people can do about this. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. Kathy, if people wanted to learn more about this topic, you mentioned this DVD. I'd like you to talk about it again for a moment. What else would you suggest for people to get involved to understand this topic? And if they wanted to take up more of a role of activism in their community, I mean, first check out to see if their municipalities, right, if their local areas treating their water supply with fluoride, that's step number one, right? But what else should they do?
Well, start educating yourself because you need to have your ducks in a row. The promoters of fluoridation have no problem lying, and they use their authority to show that they are right. And basically what they've used is saying it again and again in their minds makes it true. It does not make it true. There are lots of books and websites that are wonderful. The most recent one is called, most recent book, wonderful book, it's called The Case Against Fluoride. And the subtitle is How Hazardous Waste Ended Up in Our Drinking Water and the Bad Science and Powerful Politics That Keeps It There. One-third of the book is references that show that it's poisonous. But there are a lot of books, a lot of websites that you can do research on. Start growing a grassroots movement and show that you have people behind you. One person, it's hard for one person to get in there and do anything, but when they realize that there is a community behind them, we really pushed two issues. One was that the water department's only job is to deliver quality water, pure water, to your home. Their job is not to medicate. Fluoridation, all that is put in there for is to medicate people. So it's mass medicating people for medical purposes without a medical license. They don't have a license to do that. The other issue was choice. After 9/11, we all know that the soldiers were going to be made to take anthrax and other vaccinations, which were not FDA approved. There has been no fluoride product meant for consumption ever FDA approved, so it's a non-approved drug. There was a bunch of soldiers that refused, were court-martialed. They went to federal court, and the final ruling that was that no one, not even the federal government, has the right to force anyone to take something into their body that they don't want. So the matter of choice was a big one, too.
And what about that DVD again? What's the name of the DVD so we can have a you know, reference on the page at Natural Health 365 for this podcast? What's that DVD again?
It's called Poisoned Horses.
And it basically tells what about the story?
Well, it tells our story of what happened here and how we got fluoridation stopped. What happened to our horses? It shows pictures that we took and videos that we took of our horses and what they suffered through.
Kathy, you've been fantastic here today. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, you've been so generous with your time here. I know you really do this as a passion. It's a dedication, certainly not like a major source of your income. But if somebody wanted to reach out to you and contact you, what would you suggest?
They can email me and I can with questions and I can answer questions. I am the FAN national spokesperson against fluoride poisoning in animals. And so this is my major job now. It's a non-paying job, but I'm going to stick with it until I'm going to make it so my horses did not die in vain.
Kathy, what is that email address then? Thank you so much.
It's JUSTUSORIGINALS@pagosa.net.
Kathy, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.